And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Shanna Ledé-Qualls and Victoria Landry, here with the Acadiana Repertory Theatre, who will open their regional premiere of Jacqueline Goldfinger's The Oath tomorrow, and it will run through the weekend at Theatre 810. And we're just chatting a bit, Shanna, talking about how many plays you've directed. I know you've been in here to talk about plays before, but I hadn't realized the extent of your career as a director.
Well, I started directing very early. I would say probably 19 or 20, and then I would say at this point in time, rapidly approaching a very large number in my life, 60 tomorrow, I say probably scores, maybe close to 45. Yeah, that's about it.
Scores. How many people can say that they've directed scores of plays? And we do want to say that Victoria is your daughter.
She is,
so
indeed.
The talent is running in the family.
We do what we can.
Now, the Acadiana Repertory Theatre began a number of years ago with a very particular mission. Can you tell us a bit about that, Victoria?
The initial mission of the Acadiana Repertory Theatre was to provide a vehicle for original scripts. Now, we have done shows that are not original.
This one? Mm-hmm.
This one, for example. But this show is a regional premiere here. It has not been done anywhere in the Acadiana area before. And we are going to continue to strive as we grow the theater to stick to that mission of providing a vehicle, not just for playwrights in the Acadiana area, but looking out, like we had Ben Jolivet from the Massachusetts area write our Carol, A Broken Chain, last year. And so we're really looking at branching out throughout the country to find playwrights who are really desperate for a vehicle for new works, because so many theaters rely on finding plays that the audiences are looking for.
Right.
And
right.
Of course, it is important to sell lots of tickets, too.
Yeah, well, you want to you want people to have the opportunity to see it. You want to encourage them to fill those seats. You also give people the opportunity to hear read-throughs of plays, I believe, and that's a very important part of your year.
Yes.
Tell us about that, how that works into your mission.
In addition to the main season, each season we do 4 shows, and in addition to that, we have several developmental readings. We have had the playwrights come in and work with the actors on these readings. Some of these readings have developed into full staged productions, which will be Barrier Island, which is the show that will be at Theater 810 the last weekend in August, first weekend in September. That was part of last year's inaugural New Works Festival, written by David Stallings. And the script is, I just got goosebumps. It's such a beautiful script. And they had auditions last week, and the cast is going to be great. And Stephen is directing that show. It's going to be great.
Stephen Landry.
Yes.
Yes, your husband.
My husband.
And I believe you give people the opportunity to give their opinion. And sort of the community has a say in what they're interested in and what direction they would like to see the Rep Theater go in.
Yes. With last year's New Works Festival, there were 10 plays.
10 plays.
10
yes.
plays. All did full readings, not staged. You know, they're just seated readings. And the audience members for each show were able to cast ballots. They were able to write comments what they liked about the show. Well, I liked it, but this part kind of weirded me out, and I think it would be better if this was different. And so we were able to give that feedback to the playwrights, and it really helps not only our theater with our outlook on developing scripts, but it helps the playwrights get a vantage point, often from somewhere other than their home area.
And our last main stage production, A Place to Land, was the result of that New Works Festival. Chelsea Markentale, who's originally from Jennings, wrote that play, although she lives in the Big Apple at this time.
Well,
but she did bring that work to us, and we did present it in both at Theater 810 as well as at the Abbey Players Theater. We branched out to that venue.
Real interesting theatrical reciprocity here between writers, directors, and rep companies like yourself and the audiences. A really interesting concept. Now, this play, The Oath, is part of your Only Connect season. What is that about?
Every season we try to find some sort of thread that ties all of our plays together. The plots of the plays may not have anything to do with each other, but they'll have a common core of feeling. And this season it is Only Connect, and it's all about relationships that are forged between various people. And so every show that we do is about a relationship in some way, and the way that those relationships connect to one another.
So not really a hard and fast theme, but just a thread, as you
a
say,
thread.
That runs mm-hmm. through the plays.
Exactly.
So The Oath by Jacqueline Goldfinger. How did you all choose this play?
Well, Stephen and Etiana Wright, who is the
associate director
of art, got together and found this script through Jacqueline. Jacqueline had submitted some scripts for us for the New Works Festival. This script was not one of those. However, this one did eventually come to us. And because it is indeed a show about interactions with each other and how people connect to different themes, Stephen and Etiana both thought that it fit well into our season.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a director, Shanna, how do you start reading a play? You're reading it differently, obviously, than the people who are going to be acting in it. And what was your response to The Oath when you first read it?
Well, I think that the strength of a good director is to understand what your talent pool is. If you jump into a show where you may not be able to cast it with actors who have strength, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. We're very fortunate in that both the artistic director and the managing director and the
associate director,
that word won't come to me today, all understand what our talent pool is. And although art has a core of actors, we also hold open auditions, and we know what Lafayette has to offer in the line of talent. So as a director, I choose those shows knowing we never precast a show, mm-hmm. but we do choose those shows knowing that the talent pool is there. There are two or three or four people who have the ability to fill in those roles, and you just work until you find the right chemistry.
Well, tell us about those roles in this play, The Oath, that made you realize that it would be possible to do it here in this community.
Well, it's an interesting concept. This mm-hmm. The show revolves around two sisters who are both very, very strong personalities. Both of them are PKs, preacher's kids, and the preacher is that
like a legal term?
It's a legal term, and if it's not, I'll coin it today. but they are both PKs, however, they take different paths. One of them is the stoic follower of the church. The other is not. She is so not the follower of anything on any religious line, or at least you think not. So those two sisters have that bond. The father is incapacitated, hence we need somebody to come in and take that preacher place. And where is a traveling preacher from the 30s? This play takes place during a drought and the Big Depression in 1933 in Florida. So crops are dying, people are moving, there's migrants, there's those things that need to be considered. So those people connect within that, and it draws – it's a full circle show. It mm-hmm. starts mm-hmm. and it circles and it spirals down and it lifts up. There's a lovely housekeeper. There's the nemesis, Mrs. LaCroix. And then there's a delightful character called Lady, because she plays several ladies.
I think seven different
characters. She's a versatile child.
Well, and so knowing the pool of people in this community, when you read the play and felt out these characters and the situation that they're in, you really felt that that would be rich material for actors and actresses we have here.
Indeed. And as a director, I will tell you that there was one of those roles in that play. Had I not been of the advanced age that I am at this point, I would have given anything to do that role.
Which one?
The housekeeper.
The housekeeper. Deck.
She is such a soul. She has such a love of life and of people and understanding and charisma, and she's just lovely.
Well, and as you're describing this play, just the characters, I mean, it's sparking in my mind are various Southern writers. You know, they sound very archetypal. You're thinking of Tennessee Williams and Faulkner.
And Faulkner and even
Flannery
some Hemingway.
O'Connor.
And O'Connor. And yeah, those guys are in there. She's well-versed mm-hmm. in, obviously, Southern Gothic, and mm-hmm. that's what this is.
All right. So is it comic?
No. There are some, I mean, there are things that will make you laugh.
It's a little levity.
Things to break the tension.
Nervous laughter.
Yes.
There's definitely some of that.
So, because obviously these Southern themes and characters can be put into a comedy like In His Grace, the musical that we just had.
Which was great.
But it can also be put into a very dark story.
And it is a dark story. There's a lot of backhanded dealings going on. And my character, Ophelia, is the kind of woman who thinks things should be a certain way, and that's her way, and she is going to make sure that that happens.
And you're one of the PKs?
Yes, I am the eldest PK.
Okay, well, describe your character.
Ophelia is in her mid-30s, and she is the eldest daughter of a preacher. They come from a family of preachers, and then her dad had two daughters. And she's been raised to sort of inherit the role of being the one who guides the church through the transition.
Because your mother is not
there. The mother is deceased. And she's had to fill these shoes. And so she has developed this very strong personality. And her sister, Sebe, also has a very strong personality. But she's not so into caring about outward appearances so much. She's described by Deck, the housekeeper, as, quote, not very holy at some point.
Very holy.
And also very friendly.
Yes, she's real friendly.
Who plays this friendly, not very holy character?
Megan LaBeouf plays CB Tate.
Sounds like a fun role as well.
Yeah, she's had a lot of fun and she's great.
And so you have a housekeeper in lieu of a mother. And who plays the housekeeper?
Debbie Ardwan plays the housekeeper. Debbie's from Eunice and she's done a lot of theater with Eunice, and she's also done some readings, I think, with art.
She has. Her last production that I saw her in was The Glass Mendacity, and she was just hysterical.
She has brought so much light and love to this role of Deck. I mean, we've been in rehearsals for a month, and the first time we ran through a particular scene, every one of us were just sitting and just weeping. She really can portray exactly what that character needs to be. She's fabulous.
Well, in her absence, since it's a role you would love to have, Shanna, just describe this role of Deck.
Well, she has such a love of these two women who are the children of her boss. Her boss was the preacher. Her mother took care of both the preacher and his wife while the wife was still alive. Her mother, Deck's mother, has since passed on. Deck also took care of the preacher as well as the two girls. She says the traveling preacher asks her why doesn't she help with correspondence of all these people who are writing to him, and she says, well, Ofa went to school, I learned laundry. She was basically trained to be the housekeeper and the caretaker and the nanny of these girls.
I learned laundry. What a great line.
I learned laundry. And it's heartbreaking when you see her face when she says it. The twist at the end of the show.
I won't give it away.
But stage whisper.
There is a twist at the end of the show, and everybody needs to come and see what that twist is. But she has such heart and so much compassion and love and intellect and wisdom. She has all of those things.
So even though this is a Southern Gothic story and there's darkness, there's still a character who has heart.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's several characters. Okay. Even Ophelia, who is the leader of this pack, has a compassion not only for her sister, which she loves dearly, but for herself, the things that she aimed for in life that there's been stumbles along the way that she wasn't able to attain. One of the major conflicts between, I think, Ophelia and Mrs. LaCroix is that they have been friends for a very, very long time. Mrs. LaCroix has things in her life that I think Ophelia probably always wanted and was never able to get, which provides a little bit of
makes for great drama.
It does indeed.
Well, I want to tell people who are just tuning in, my guests are Shanna Ledé-Qualls and Victoria Landry, both with the Acadiana Repertory Theater. They open The Oath tomorrow evening at Theater 810. The Oath is by playwright Jacqueline Goldfinger. Shanna is the director, and Victoria plays Ophelia. So this is Southern Gothic. Even if it's dark, it has redemption in it.
A lot of redemption is what
I'm gathering. This doesn't leave you like a Flannery O'Connor story, gasping.
No, and it doesn't. And oddly enough, although it has a preacher in it, and he's a traveling preacher, and you would think that he would be the redeemer, he's part of the redemption storyline, but he's not necessarily the redeemer. And Casey does such a fine job of holding these women together and guiding them to find their personal peace,
so
which is really
Casey Harmon.
Casey Harmon. I'm sorry, I did forget that.
The preacher is Joshua.
Yes, the preacher's name is Joshua. And Casey Harmon does a fine portrayal of this gentleman.
So it is set in the 30s. This is during the Depression, 1933, I think you said.
Yes.
It is. So they are deep into the Depression here, and this is Florida, and it is rural, I imagine.
Yes, very.
So how does the Depression play into this story? What makes it so perfect to have set this story, The Oath, in that time period?
Well, there's a whole different... They moved to this small town, obviously, prior to the drought and prior to losing everything in the country that was lost in the Depression. So they've sort of had to take a couple of rungs down on the ladder, although they still have a ladder. I mean, they're not destitute. They're not living in the migrant camps down in the bottoms, although a lot of people are. And several of the characters that Lady plays come in from the bottoms. And CB and the preacher have it in their hearts to minister to those people. So that's where some of the conflict is with Mrs. LaCroix, whose husband is the president of the church board, and Ophelia, who is the oldest of the preacher's kids, who want to maintain what her father had. So what the minister and CB are proposing to do aren't necessarily what those other people want. Mm-hmm. So that whole Depression line and the drought is very important. Mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't rained in well over a year.
Right. And I'm sure really reflecting, too, just social trends at that time, the two varying ways of approaching the people who are affected by the Depression. How do you get people out of this? What is the way forward? So very, very different. I mean, if you read history, you realize there were probably many camps thinking this is the way we do it. This is how we get out of it. So you really see that reflected in a microcosm in this community.
Yes, definitely. And Ophelia and Mrs. LaCroix are a much more hoity-toity vision of what church and religion should be, whereas some other characters in the play think that they need to nurture the lowest of the low. Mm-hmm. And Ophelia and Mrs. LaCroix want nothing to do
with that.
So
they're sort of in the Beatitude camp.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And the interesting thing about Deck is that Deck, I think, has to find a way. You can tell that at one time there was probably opulence in this house. That no longer exists. They've probably sold things off to help make ends meet and that kind of thing. So, you know, the vast majority of silver pieces that you think the preacher and his wife probably had heretofore, they no longer have, because they've gotten rid of that stuff in order to maintain what they think needs to happen. Meanwhile, Deck says, as she says, you know, I learned laundry. So she's folding every once in a while men's clothing that you think, why is that coming from? And it's probably because she's decided in order to help the family, she's going to take laundry in. Mm. And she does those things in order to help the women maintain their appearances within the community.
Hmm. So that's a very, even though that may not be her way particularly, she wants to help both of them in their varying approaches to this situation they find themselves in.
Yes.
So very, very loving person. It does open tomorrow, and it runs only one weekend. So how many performances?
We have shows tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And Sunday we have a matinee at 3 o'clock. And all performances take place at Theater 810. downtown on Jefferson Street. It's, well, 810 Jefferson Street, right next door to Carpe Diem. Right. So get yourself some gelato and come check out our show.
That's right. And definitely seize the day, because since it's only a weekend,
yes,
you can't wait around to see how everything turns out.
You have 4 days to seize this deal. And it is an excellent, excellent show and an excellent study in character and an excellent study in care. Mm. And I think that there's not an audience member in town who's not going to be pleased with the relationship and the interrelationships that these people have with each other.
And I heard that the costumes are great, too.
Yeah, it's fun dresses and hairstyles.
And good shoes.
Difficult, but fun.
So the early 1930s, who helped you with the costumes?
We went to Old Vogue for the costumes. Carol and Sherilyn are so great over there. Mm-hmm. Love those gals. And they helped us out with a lot of that. And the gal who plays Lady, J.C. Dansteel, had a lot of stuff that she has received from family members that we were able to use. And, so, you know, we just pulled stuff, borrowed stuff from friends.
I mean Abby Players lent us a few things. Cité des Arts lent us a few things. It's, you know, that's the interesting part about theater in our community of Acadiana, is that we all have – we only connect – to each other.
We only connect. Great Forrester line. So a lot of generosity of spirit here.
Indeed.
In this theater community. This is the Acadiana Repertory Theater. They will open Jacqueline Goldfinger's The Oath tomorrow evening at 810 downtown. Easy to find. That's the address, 810. But you really should get your tickets ahead of time. Only 50 seats, I think, in the theater.
It is a very small house.
So should they call or go online?
Yes, you can call Theater 810 to purchase tickets by phone. That number is 337-484-0172. We also have an Eventbrite setup that you can find through our website, acadianarep.org. You can just follow the link there and you can purchase tickets online that way. You can also visit our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter, Acadiana Rep.
Facebook is Acadiana Rep, and you'll find information about The Oath and other things
happening, and the upcoming productions of both Barrier Island as well as
Stratford Boy.
Thank you. Okay.
The first 2 weekends of November, we will have a world premiere production of Cody Daigle's Stratford Boy. Was it last year or the year before? I don't remember that. They did William and Judith.
A couple of years ago.
Which was a beautiful story. And Cody is currently in the process of writing Stratford Boy, which is a prequel to William and Judith. It kind of gets you a little information on how William and Judith got to be how William and Judith are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that will be the first 2 weekends of November at Theater 810. So we have Barrier Island for 2 weekends. That's a regional premiere, playwright David Stallings. That's the last weekend of August, first weekend of September. And then Stratford Boy by Cody Daigle will be the first 2 weekends of November.
Right. And those are all a part of the Only Connect
series.
And
yes,
just
indeed.
One more thing regarding The Oath, and I think this is an important thing to say, that the show does indeed contain some strong language as well as some adult themes. So when you're coming and purchasing your tickets, you should be aware and keep that in mind, that there are indeed adult themes and mature language.
All right. So perhaps mature high school students, but parents can
absolutely
make that.
Yes. I would think anyone over the age of 13 or 14 would be okay.
All right. Well, they can make that call. Again, my guest, director Shanna Lede-Qualls, directing The Oath, and Victoria Landry performing in The Oath, opening tomorrow, the Acadiana Repertory Theater at Theater 810. Thank you both.
Thank you so much, Judith.